Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Veiled Reflection by Tracy Peterson, narrated by Kitty Hendricks. 1. Kansas City, March 1895.
You just have to do this for me, Jillian.
Jillian eyed her twin sister with suspicious curiosity.
Oh, really? I just have to.
The exasperated blonde plopped down on the bed to plead her case. Jillian steadied herself for anything, from an onslaught of tears to a beautifully illustrated story of intrigue and romance. Judith was a master with detailed expression. Some people painted on canvases, but Judith created entire landscapes with words.
I'm in love, Jillian.
Jillian smiled at her sister tolerantly, gazing sympathetically into blue eyes identical to her own.
I understand that part.
Her sister had long ago attached her affections to a shopkeeper's son named Martin Shine, much to their parents' dismay.
What I don't understand is why I need to pose as you and go west to the Arizona Territory.
It's that silly job at the Harvey Company, Judith explained, her eyes pleading with Jillian to understand.
Mr. Harvey made me sign a contract to work for his restaurant for 1 year. My year won't be up until June.
So wait until June to be married.
I can't wait until June, Judith wailed,
a hint of desperation in her tone.
I love Martin, and I want to marry him now. We have a wonderful future planned.
So send a letter of regret to Mr. Harvey and explain the situation.
I can't do that either. One of the stipulations I agreed to was not to marry before my contract was up. If I do, I have to forfeit part of my wages.
So forfeit them, Jillian flippantly replied.
I can't afford to forfeit anything, Judith admitted softly. I gave all my savings to Martin, so he could invest in a business. You know, father and mother will never understand my running off with Martin. Mother has it in her mind that I should marry her Aunt Gertrude's second cousin, who just happens to be a duke in line for some minor principality and only God knows where.
Jillian nodded. Her mother had a way of meddling in her daughter's lives. Judith continued.
We'll be completely on our own once we're together. Father will certainly never offer any financial support.
No, I don't suppose he will, Jillian replied thoughtfully. She tried to imagine herself going west in her sister's place. A part of her longed to break from her confined environment, but another part was equally terrified. At least here in her confinement, she knew safety, even luxury. Out there in the West, well, who knows what dangers might await?
You really are asking a great deal, Judith. You know that, don't you?
Yet Jillian knew what her sister asked of her was really no different than any other time. Judith always expected the impossible from Jillian, and this was no exception.
Please, Jillian, I wouldn't ask if it weren't so important. Besides, you'll have the time of your life. Think about the adventure. You were just telling me yesterday how much you longed for a bit of change.
This is considerably more than a bit, Jillian replied. But even as she answered, her heart began to soften to the idea. Her fears of the unknown were nothing compared to her love for Judith. Jillian studied her twin for a moment and sighed. There wasn't much she wouldn't do for Judith. She adored her sister and admired her free spirit and adventurous approach to life. Jillian had always longed to be more spontaneous, more willing to take chances and risks. But apparently, Judith had received all the ability in those areas. Jillian faithfully remained the tame and quiet one.
So will you do it? Please? Judith begged.
But Judith, Jillian tried to reason, I know nothing about Mr. Harvey's system. You've written me enough letters to make me realize how intricate and focused on detail your job as a Harvey girl can be. How can I hope to understand my duties, much less pull off a believable impersonation of you, when I haven't a clue what will be expected of me?
I can teach you, Judith said, getting very excited as she sensed Jillian's defense slip. I know I can. There's really nothing to it once you know the routine. But you're expected back there in 4 days. Your train leaves tomorrow. How can I possibly learn everything that quickly? It'll work out, Judith replied, coming to where Jillian stood. She reached out to take hold of Jillian's hands and smiled. I know you can handle this, she encouraged. You've always been able to deal with the unexpected. Look at how well you handled Grandma coming to live with us, and now her death and funeral. Jillian shuddered involuntarily. Death was not a subject she cared to discuss. Even the mere mention of it caused the hair on the back of her neck to stand taut. I didn't handle much of anything connected to Grandmother's funeral. She looked away and tried to steady her nerves. It was silly to get so upset simply thinking about such matters, but in truth, Jillian found this to be her Achilles' heel. Judith patted her hand. Forgive me. I forgot how hard these things are on you. I didn't mean to cause you grief. Jillian shook her head. I don't know why it's so hard to face up to. I was such a ninny when Grandma took sick. I guess I just kept thinking of all her superstitions about sick and dying people. Don't look them in the eye or you'll be next. Don't kiss a dying person on the mouth or they'll try to steal your soul. I mean, I know it's all ridiculous, but that old woman had me tossing and turning with nightmares for the past 5 years. Every time someone opened an umbrella or broke something a certain way, we were all cursed and needed to look for death on the horizon. Judith nodded. Why do you think I fled to work for Mr. Harvey? I figured at 22, I deserved to put my sights on life, not death. Now, a year later, I decided I might as well try married life. You make it sound as if you're trying on a new outfit. Marriage is a lifetime commitment, Jillian told her sister quite seriously. Silly goose. Of course it is. I wouldn't think of it any other way. It's just that some women go into marriage acting as though their life is over. I plan for it to be just the start of yet another adventure. Jillian shook her head. I wish I could be like you. She honestly meant every word. Just thinking about Judith's proposition caused her heart to beat a little faster. Could she really do it? Just go and start a new life? Here's your chance, Judith replied, squeezing her sister's hand. Go take my place in Arizona. It's just until June, barely 3 months, and you can keep the money you earn. Not that you'll have much need for it. Mr. Harvey houses and feeds you, and even has your laundry done for you. It's a pampered life on some counts. Jillian raised a brow and looked at her mirrored image. Since when is working 10 or 12 hours a day, serving food and cleaning up afterward a pampered life? Hard work had never frightened her, but in all honesty, she'd never really been called upon to do such a task. Until now. Judith laughed. It has its moments. Haven't I made that clear in my letters? I mean, look at me now. I came home on a railroad pass for Grandmother's funeral. I didn't have to pay a cent. They gave me 2 weeks' leave for the funeral, and they will even provide meals on the trip back to Arizona. Please, Jillian, her voice lowered to a whisper. I love him so much. I just don't see why you can't wait, Jillian said, carefully studying her sister's flushed features. There's something more, isn't there? Judith turned crimson at this. You always know, don't you? I can sense something's going on. I just don't know what. Judith looked away. I let things get out of hand with Martin. Jillian immediately understood her sister's meaning. Oh, Judith. Her twin held up a hand. Please don't lecture me. I know it was wrong, but the moon was bright and the air crisp and cold and, well, he was so dashing in his brown wool, and when he took me to show me the place he's been living. Judith hesitated, her expression forlorn. I just couldn't help myself. So now you may well carry his child, and by June your actions would be evident. Judith nodded slowly. There's no way to know for sure, not this soon, but it is a possibility. She looked genuinely remorseful. It wasn't the way I planned it. It just happened. Please, Jillian, do this for me. I know I've been foolish, but I do love Martin, and there isn't any sense of putting off our marriage. Not now. Jillian sighed, knowing that she would do whatever Judith asked of her, no matter the cost to herself. But then again, the cost didn't seem that bad. Arizona did sound like an adventure, and who knew what might await her there? She smiled at the thought of actually taking a chance at something. Mother and father will positively rupture an organ, she said conspiratorially. Judith grinned. Oh, thank you. I just know you'll love it in Arizona. It's so warm and dry, and the scenery is so very different from Missouri. I hardly imagine I'll have time for sightseeing. You'd better start filling me in on what I have to do. Well, if you were paying attention to my letters, you pretty much know the rules. Jillian nodded. No fraternizing with other Harvey employees. If I wish to date, I must have my house mother's permission. Change my clothes if they get dirty. Curfew is at 10. She glanced upward, as if to find the rules written on the ceiling of her bedroom. Service with a smile, right? She looked back at Judith, who was staring at her with the most overwhelming look of love and adoration. This means the world to me, Jillian. I can't thank you enough. Judith's voice was husky, and tears threatened to spill down her cheeks. I honestly didn't mean for things to happen this way. I know what I did was wrong, but I know this is the only way to make it right. I promise I'll never ask another thing of you so long as we both live. But even so, please forgive me. Jillian hugged her sister tightly. You are forgiven as far as I'm concerned. You know very well that my love for you could never be disrupted by your antics. At least I won't have to endure Mother's parade of suitors on a daily basis. Is she still tormenting you with that? Jillian pulled away and nodded. It's as bad as ever. She's located some distantly related baron who needs a wife. If he won't do, then there's a bevy of commoners that she'll settle for in this country. You know how Mother is about being descended from Bavarian nobility. She won't be happy until she sees us sitting on thrones or dancing with dukes. I simply haven't written to tell you about it because I figured why bother. She wants her daughters married well and living as happily as she is. Given Father's overbearing nature, I don't see how she can be so happy. The man is positively impossible, Judith declared. He has berated me since I walked in the door, chiding me for signing a contract without his approval, admonishing me that I have done irreparable harm to the reputation of this family. Jillian laughed. If he only knew the half of it. Still, I can hardly see your joining up with the Harvey Company as a harm to our reputation. We've managed to maintain the second pew on the right-hand side in church. Mother and I are still invited to tea by the best families, and as far as I know, Father has made more money in his many investments over this last year than he ever made in the past. So if that's harming us, by all means, Judith, harm away. Judith giggled and looked toward the bedroom door suspiciously. She sobered instantly. You don't think we've been overheard, do you? If someone tells Mother or Father of our conversation, then our plans will be for naught. She shook her head and dropped her gaze to her hands. I should have been more like you, Jillian. I can't imagine life without Martin, but I couldn't bear to lose you over this. I thought going away to work would get Martin out of my heart, but if anything, it just planted him there more firmly. I want to spend my life loving this man and raising a family with him. She looked up, and her expression broke through any final reservations Jillian harbored. Don't worry about anything, Jillian went to the door and glanced out into the hallway. The entire floor appeared deserted. I doubt anyone would tell or do anything to interfere with your happiness. Even Charlotte finds Mother's constant harassment toward matrimony to be an annoying inconvenience. I'm certain she would applaud your desire to marry for love. How long has Charlotte worked as Mother's personal maid? 14, 15 years? Judith questioned, wiping at her tears. You'd think after being around this family that long, Charlotte would long to run away to Arizona herself. Jillian imagined that might well be true. In fact, the more she thought about her sister's appeal, the more attractive the idea sounded. Why not go west and pose as Judith? After all, what harm could there be? The two were identical in looks, and even though their personalities were a definite contrast, Jillian could pretend to be outgoing and exciting, couldn't she? Silently contemplating her next move, Jillian barely heard the supper conversation around her. Her father grumbled and growled disappointment in Judith's plans to return to the Harvey Company, and her mother addressed the issue of taking Judith and Jillian to Europe, where she could get both of them married off before they passed an acceptable age for matrimony. Jillian gazed at the immaculate room with its gilded gold-framed paintings and portraits. Bavarian ancestors stared down at her from the wall, as if to question her decision to help Judith, while overhead, a crystal chandelier bestowed electric light in a warm and steady glow. Would she miss it? Would she find the rustic nature of Judith's tiny Arizona water stop to be an unbearable punishment? I'm 23 years old, and I've never even contemplated living on my own, Jillian reasoned. And in truth, she hadn't. For all of her mother's meddling and continuous parade of suitors, Jillian had simply taken it in stride like a good daughter. She had been raised to be ornamental and lovely, gifted in singing and playing the piano, and graceful and elegant in dancing and formal entertainment. She had been trained for one purpose and one purpose only, to be the wife of an affluent, noble-born man. And if not of noble birth, then certainly one given over to privilege and wealth. Jillian, you haven't said a word all evening. You aren't ill, are you? Jillian snapped to attention at her father's words.
No, Father. I'm just a bit weary.
He nodded. Yes, well, with my mother gone to her reward, I believe it might do you and your mother both a great deal of good to travel abroad.
Gretchen Danvers smiled lovingly.
But it would be tiresome without you by my side. I cannot even think of it unless you would consider joining us.
I'm afraid that's impossible, Colin Danvers said, wiping his mouth with his linen napkin. He dropped it down beside his plate and signaled the servant to remove his dishes from the table. I have an elaborate affair to see to, one that will take me to Chicago for the better part of 2 weeks. I leave tomorrow.
Jillian and Judith exchanged concerned glances. If their father was to be at the train station anywhere near the time of Judith's planned departure, it could prove to be a problem.
Judith leaves tomorrow as well, their mother interjected before either of the girls could question their father. Perhaps you could ride together to the station.
Jillian tensed and tried hard not to look in the least bit concerned.
I'm afraid that won't work. I'm leaving first thing in the morning. Judith's train isn't until evening.
Jillian exhaled rather loudly, causing all eyes to turn her direction. Putting her hand to her mouth, she feigned a yawn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I suppose I'm more tired than I realized.
An early evening would do well for all of us, her father replied, apparently unconcerned with Jillian's reaction.
No doubt, had it been Judith, he would have questioned what the young woman was up to. But Jillian had never given her parents any reason to believe ill of her. It had always been Judith who had climbed the trees and gotten herself hurt. Judith, who would shimmy down the drainpipe at night and slip off to do all manner of nighttime marauding with her friends. Jillian caught her sister's gaze and smiled. And now it would be Judith, who was venturing into matrimony and married life.
I quite agree with your father. I suggest we retire directly, Gretchen said, slipping her own napkin quietly beside her plate. I have several letters to write, and I know Judith must still have packing to see to. And with that, it was decided. Jillian felt relieved that her father would not expect her to entertain them at the piano, and better still, that he would not spend what might have otherwise been a pleasant evening, berating Judith again for her decision to take up a job with Fred Harvey. After waiting for their father to give them the signal to rise, the women graciously swept from the room, pausing at the stairs only long enough to exchange goodnight kisses.
Sleep well, Jillian. Tomorrow evening I have arranged for that dashing Mr. Nelson to come and join us for dinner. I think you will find him most pleasant now that he's had that bad tooth pulled. His face isn't swollen at all anymore.
Jillian looked to Judith, hoping her sister would interject something. But it appeared Judith was struggling just to keep from laughing out loud.
Good night, Mama, Jillian said, kissing her mother's cheek. Good night, my dears.
Judith quickly kissed her mother, then looped her arm through Jillian's.
Come along, sister. I shall see you to bed.
Jillian took hold of her pink silk skirt and lifted it in the precise way her mother had taught her. There were rituals and routines for every part of life, and even ascending the stairs had its do's and don'ts. A lady was never to climb the stairs in a hurry. In fact, a lady was never to do anything in a rushed manner. She should appear, as her mother had stated on many an occasion, as if she had all the time in the world to accomplish her task. This was to be true, whether mounting stairs or visiting with guests. One showed poor manners when appearing pressed for time. When they reached Judith's room, she quickly pulled Jillian inside and let out a laugh that could no doubt be heard throughout the house.
I thought I would die when she talked of Mr. Nelson, as if that bad tooth was the only reason his face was swollen. Why, the man must weigh 300 pounds if he weighs an ounce. See, my sending you to Arizona will be a life-saving event.
Jillian smiled and nodded, feeling her budding excitement override her previous apprehensions.
No doubt you are right. I sat there tonight and wondered if I would miss the grandeur and opulence of our home. But I've decided there are things that make life here seem anything but lovely. She sobered. I just hope Mother won't be too disappointed in me. I hope she won't be lonely.
Judith patted her sister's arm.
Mother will be fine. She has her charities and socials. And of course, she has Father to tell her when and where to go. He will no doubt be just as pleased to tell her whether or not she can feel sorrow in your absence.
I know what you're saying, but seriously, she will have no one after I go. Grandmother Danvers has passed away. You'll be married and living somewhere else, and I'll be in Arizona.
Judith seemed to comprehend the situation for the first time. Yes, I suppose you're right. Well, you will simply have to write her many, many letters, and I shall endeavor to see her on a daily basis. Father will not like my marrying Martin, but he will settle down soon enough. Then I will be able to come and visit with Mother often. Maybe Father will even help Martin in his new business.
Which is to be what? Jillian asked. Judith beamed proudly.
He's setting up a shop to sell books. Won't that be marvelous?
For your sake, Jillian replied. I hope it is. I hope you are inundated with customers. Judith nodded.
We're sure to be. Now, here. She went to the closet and pulled out her suitcase. I've packed what little I brought with me. Your uniforms are back at the Harvey house. Just take your cue from Kate and Louisa.
Jillian stiffened at the mention of Judith's roommates.
I nearly forgot. What about Kate and Louisa? Won't they realize I'm not you? I mean, you've shared your hopes and dreams together. I know, because you've written to me about things they've said. And because of that, they'll never have a clue as to you being anyone else but me.
Jillian looked at the suitcase, and then at her sister.
I have a sneaky feeling someone will figure it out rather quickly.
2. From the moment Jillian nervously stepped off the train in Penton, Arizona, It became clear that things were not going to be as easy as Judith had planned. The Harvey House, clearly marked and situated beside the depot, beckoned her in a brick and adobe welcome. Judith had explained that there were two floors, the upper one being devoted to housing the girls who worked there, and the bottom floor containing the dining room, kitchen, and gathering rooms for off-duty activities and entertaining. With an appearance of confidence that she herself did not feel, Jillian boldly braved her new world. Suitcase in hand, she entered the Harvey House with the other passengers, only to be inundated with questions and greetings. "Miss Danvers, it's good to have you back with us," a rather plain-looking woman said as Jillian moved out of the rush of passengers. Jillian studied the woman and decided that this had to be the house mother, Gwen Carson. She opened her mouth to acknowledge the woman's words when a vivacious young woman with a wet apron appeared.
"Miss Carson, I'm off to be changing me apron." "Oh, Judith," she said, spying Jillian. "It's really yourself come back to work. I wasn't at all sure you'd be gracing our halls again."
Jillian smiled weakly. "Well, here I am." Miss Carson nodded. "Go on and change, Kate, before all of the passengers get seated. Hurry now." Jillian sighed with relief. She'd managed to meet Kate and Gwen without any mishaps or misunderstandings. But that was to be her last moment of ease.
"Look, Judith, we're short-handed," Gwen stated rather quietly. "I've had two girls quit since you left, and you know we were already two girls short at that time. So I need you to go right upstairs and get changed. I'll need you to work this shift."
Jillian felt her mouth go cottony.
"Very well, Miss Carson." "Thank you, Judith. I knew I could count on you."
Gwen hurried off to see the passengers now being seated in the dining room. Jillian picked up her case and cautiously moved down the hall to where she'd seen Kate disappear. Judith had informed her that the front stairs were normally quartered off, and sure enough, there was a red velvet rope, much like the Kansas City Opera House used, barring the way upstairs. The back stairs, Judith had explained, were down the hall from the front entrance and past the last of two parlors. Jillian hurried to make her way through the house. She knew her mother would disapprove of her unladylike conduct, but she supposed there would soon be much that her mother would disapprove. Juggling suitcase and skirts, she mounted the stairs quickly. Perhaps she would catch Kate in the process of changing her apron and then ask any questions that came to mind. But Kate was rushing out of the room just as Jillian topped the stairs.
"So you're to be put to work, are you?"
Kate called out as she raced past Jillian.
"Yes, I suppose what with being short-handed, it's to be expected." "Aye, Lana and Betsy left inside of 2 days of each other. Yourself wasn't gone an hour before Lana came bounding down the stairs announcing her intentions of marriage. Betsy showed up a day and a half later and said nearly the same thing. Miss Carson was fit to be tied."
By this time, Kate was already halfway down the stairs.
"Go on with you now. I'll cover your station until you get there."
Jillian could only nod, but Kate didn't see her. The tiny black-haired woman was already on her way to the dining room. Jillian glanced down the hall and drew a deep breath. There were four doors on each side of the hall, two sets on either side of the stairs. Judith had said that the first door to the right was the bathing room. The door after that was Miss Carson's, and the room across from hers was the one Judith shared with Kate McGee and Louisa Upton. Timidly, as if intruding on a stranger's privacy, Jillian opened the door to this room and stepped inside. Three beds were positioned in dormitory fashion, with a chest at the foot of each one. This was where they were to keep any personal articles. The bed nearest the door was Judith's. The sides of the simple brown wool cover had been tucked neatly under the mattress, and the iron frame of the headrail and footboard stood soaking in jars of water. This, Judith told her, was to discourage scorpions and any other manner of pest from climbing into bed with you while you slept. It was also the reason the covers were tucked in tight and not allowed to drape along the floor. Putting the suitcase down on the bed, Jillian tried to remember all of Judith's admonitions about life in the desert. There was much to remember, for it seemed that danger and harm could come at nearly every turn.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?